Okay, good evening, everyone. Hi, it's great to see you. Great to see you. And I can see some... nice to see you, nice, yeah. Okay, my name's Phil. I will have met some of you before through different ICNIS gatherings, maybe down at Revive, and some of you will be new. But the lovely thing about being away this weekend is we get to know each other a little bit better. And I'm just so pleased, so privileged to be here, and thank you. I don't know who invited me in the end. Probably Dave had something to do with it, but we really, really appreciate you inviting me here, and it's my privilege to be here. Hayley's not here. I'm married to Hayley, been married for 14 years. We've got three kids and a fourth on the way. We've got a girl on the way, will be born in June, because we didn't have enough on our plates, so we're looking forward to that. But she's quite busy with a family day that she's running for the church tomorrow, so unfortunately she's not here. But I don't know, maybe she can come another time. We lead the Southcroft congregation in Streatham, and then almost exactly 1 year ago, we planted a new congregation out of Southcroft in Streatham into nearby Mitcham. Have you heard of Mitcham? Yeah, notorious, isn't it? Yeah. did you know Jackie Pullinger was saved in Mitcham? How about that? There we go. Apparently at an event called A Sausage Sizzler, some sort of church barbecue, in 1966. World Cup, sending out Jackie Pullinger. Praise God. we've been in ICTHUS. I've been in ICTHUS since the year 2000. Gave my life to Jesus. I'd say I give my life to Jesus. Actually, I got born again lots of times before, and then went from, you know, I used to really strongly recommend that people got born again because it was a great experience. And then I gradually seeped back into my old lifestyle. And I don't know if any of you remember Crusaders, probably not the most PC name these days, so they changed it to Urban Saints, which doesn't quite work in farmland territory, but there you go. Sounds good, doesn't it? And so every summer I would go and to a Crusaders camp, and I was one of the youth leaders there. But I myself, although I professed to be a Christian, probably wasn't. And it really kind of disturbed me sometimes to hear the gospel and to hear what Jesus had done. And probably because the cross actually is something of a challenge to us, isn't it? It's a confrontation, because you see the ugliness and the brutality against Jesus. And actually that's telling us something about our sin and what it produces in us and what it produces in the human race. But what I wanted to do through this weekend is speak a little bit to the activity of the Holy Spirit. And I wanted just to share a few thoughts this evening about going and growing with the Holy Spirit. That's what the Lord had kind of laid on my heart as I started to pray for the congregation here. I really believe that the Lord is wanting to speak to us about the adventure that lies ahead, the adventure that lies beyond the gates, as it were, of Ashburnham Place. And some of you who've come down here for a Revive, we have such a deep and a rich experience of the Holy Spirit, don't we? And then it's a hard thing, isn't it, to leave on the last day of Revive. And you see people packing up their tents and you're thinking, oh, just another couple of days, Lord. Because there's something, there's a quality, isn't there, to being the people of God together. There's an experience that we enter into when there is corporate fellowship and corporate worship. And there's something which is really, really deeply precious about that. But what the Lord wants to reinforce with us, I believe, in these days, is that there's an amazing adventure, an amazing deep communion that the Lord can give us, actually when we get outside, right outside, if you like, of sometimes the confines of a Christian conference or a Christian weekend away. Because the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that blesses, fills, refreshes, inspires, sets people on fire, people are shaking, experiencing things of the Spirit at Revive, last night of Revive, is burning brightly right, if you like, at the fingertips of what the Lord is wanting to do in our society, in England, in Crawley today. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who is inviting us into the mission of God. And one of the early church fathers said this, which I thought was very profound, and it's something that's been coming into my mind as I've been praying for you guys today. And he said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, that's where the church will be. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, that's where the church will be. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, that's where the church will be. And That is to go forward in Him, to grow in Him, to experience Him. And I love that there's not a square inch of this universe that Jesus does not cry out, "That is mine." Isn't that wonderful? And the promise that we get from Scripture, Habakkuk 2 says, "For the glory of the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea." What a great promise that is. Amen. That the revelation, the goodness of God. What is the glory of God? It's Jesus. Jesus, the knowledge of Jesus, the experience of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the goodness of Jesus, the love of Jesus will cover the face of the earth. And, you know, so what I want to say is that if we are to be a go people, what's our foundation? What's our foundation if we're going to be a go people post this weekend away? Because I believe the Lord wants to stir up some of us, maybe help us reimagine, help us rediscover some of the words that the Lord has spoken over our life, maybe in times past. Sometimes it gets buried under a bit of dust, doesn't it? Sometimes it gets crumpled up and shoved over in a drawer. But the Holy Spirit can bring those things to remembrance and bring people to life again. And so the foundation in terms of us being a go people and a go church. And I hope that I can speak to that because I have a particular emphasis which the Lord gave me, which was evangelist. Ever since I was born again, as soon as I was born again, actually, it's what a strange thing I used to do. I used to take the bus to college, and it was a long bus journey because they've recently got buses up north. Yeah, electricity's coming soon. Yeah, okay. So I was on the bus, long journey, and I used to buy a newspaper, and when I started to get excited about Jesus, I got my Bible, and I used to put my Bible. And I used to sit it neatly in my newspaper and taking the bus to college, I used to read and pretend I was reading the paper and I was reading the Bible. How crazy is that? Anyway, as I started to love Jesus a little bit more, I remember telling my dad a bit of a lie. I said, "Dad, I need to get some trainers. So you give me some money for trainers." I went to Newcastle. I spent all the money on tracts. I went to the Christian bookshop, got a load of tracts. I'd only been saved 5 minutes, didn't really have any theology at all, but I went and stood on the street corner, and I used to give them out all day. And then there was a place that I used to go to in the centre of Newcastle, where a lot of the goths and the sort of emos would hang out, and often they're the most lovely people in the world, by the way. Start to share what Jesus was doing in my life, share my testimony, give tracts out. Couldn't answer anybody's questions, but I knew that I was participating in something that was wonderful. And I never felt more close or connected to Jesus as when I was standing on a street corner. There might not be another Christian there, but I was there. Jesus was there. And it was wonderful to see that. And so to be a go people, we've got to follow our go God. We've got to know that Jesus ultimately is the greatest evangelist. He is ultimately, we believe, all the apostles, they're the sent ones. Or the evangelists, they're the sent ones. Jesus is the sent one. It all comes back to Him. He's the one who comes into communities. Amen. He's the one who comes into our lives, and He comes with a purpose. And, you know, we like to call our denominations these days movements, don't we? Because it sounds vibrant. Oh, don't worry. I know there's 30-odd thousand denominations, but we're a movement, okay? Well, it sounds good, doesn't it? But actually, so many of those denominations are so incredibly static. It's in contrast to the one who brings life and brings vibrancy and brings movement. Amen. Jesus is not a static set of beliefs. Can I hear an amen, church? He's not just some orthodox statements. But He is a God who is on the move. And He's calling us right now in this weekend. You're not safe just because you're saved, because He wants to get you involved in His purpose and get you stirred up for something amazing. But He's looking for a people that are seeking to embrace Him and expecting Him to be at work in His church. Amen. The Lord wants to draw us into His purposes with Him. And actually, it's wonderful because every believer here, you, the person next to you, the person in front of you, me, we can all participate in this purpose. But actually, the purposes of God, they involve risk, believers. That's true, isn't it? If we're honest, that's true, isn't it? I think it's amazing what we will idolize within the Christian community. It's not often actually people that take a whole bunch of risks. It's often those that will help us to feel secure. where we are, right where we are. And of course, Jesus wants to give us a sense of assurance. You know, I took out my assurance policy when I was 20, yeah? That's when I was born again. Not insurance, assurance, amen? But with all, if you're like, armed with that truth, the Lord wants us to live a life of risk and adventure, amen? The ship is not sailed for you, hallelujah, in terms of God's purposes. So many people from Scripture, right late on in life, have great adventures ahead of them. And I'm so thankful that I've got a wonderful team around me, and I've still got Roger and Faith miles in front of me, pursuing the Lord's purposes. I don't know how old Roger is, but some say he did know Noah quite well. but, you know, Roger often says, actually, it's the church which takes no risks dies. The church that takes no risks dies. We might not want to hear that. I know I didn't want to hear it when the Lord started to challenge us about church planting. In fact, when the Lord started to speak to us about church planting, I had in my head the model. This is how it's going to go. The Lord's going to give us a lovely influx of people, okay? About 20, Lord. 25 will do. Don't mind anything over 50, okay? And then we're going to be able to gather that team together, and we're going to be able to send that team out, and it is not going to have any consequence on our church as a whole. It's going to be no dent in terms of who's gathering. It's not going to impact us in any way. And the way that it was that the Lord did that was something pretty direct, and it wasn't like that. And all the time, for about a year, come on, Lord, so where's this team coming in that we're going to be able to quickly send out again? And, you know, it just never happened. And we were in a church meeting. We invited someone to come and do a creative children's service at Easter. And I think I was quite clear on what the Lord was telling me to do. However, how much do we just say, okay, Lord, but this is how you've got to do it? We're the experts, aren't we? We're the experts. We know it all, don't we? And it was so funny because this guy came for this children's service, and in the middle of the service, he literally called me and Haley to the front, in front of everyone, and he said, you know, the Lord's been telling you to do something for 3 years now. It's time to do it. Get on and do it. And I was thinking, this is so embarrassing. I'm getting shamed by the Lord in front of everyone because I'm not hearing the Lord. And you know, when we went and we shared what the Lord was telling us to do, to plant this new congregation, of course it was met with great encouragement from all parties. Of course it wasn't. In fact, one person I shared it with said, there's just no way that can happen. It's impossible. Well, with the Lord, all things are possible. Amen. Amen. So, and what I found in that is that sometimes it's really, really good for us to be in a situation where all we can depend on is our prayers. That's it. That's it. So where's the kind of worship band? Where's the evangelism team? Where's the setup team? All we've got is prayer. That's it. That's it. Lord, but we have a God who spoke the universe into existence. Amen. He's sustaining everything, everything in all of the universe by the word of his power. Wonderful is the Lord. And, you know, so sometimes it's good for us to put ourselves in that position. And actually, it's very difficult for us to continue to do that. It was easy. In some ways, it was quite easy for me to do that at 20. But then, you know, add in a mortgage and some kids and responsibilities, it becomes more and more difficult to do that. But, you know, I was encouraged because when I met my wife, Haley, she said, you know what, you know, when I get to be a pensioner, if the Lord allows it, I want to be one of those pensioners that likes to jump out of planes. And I want to be one of these people that takes progressive risks for the Lord. And, you know, the Lord invites us to a life of adventure for him. Amen. And I have to say that amongst all of the kind of demonic which is stirred up and the cursing and the messages that are scrolled on walls against us, church planting is fantastic. And the Lord is totally with us in it. But, you know, the Lord wants his people to grow. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth, and so, oh, look at that. That's tight. I've not seen that before in that time. But that's fantastic. Yes, the Lord is blessing us, and he's calling his people to be fruitful and to increase. He's saying go, and he's saying grow. Amen? go and grow. So the seed, you see, the seed is already there. The seed is already there. And I believe the seed is already there in our churches, the seed for that growth, for that development. Because if we were to imagine Jesus saying that, blessing them and saying, go forth and multiply. In fact, I shared that with a young couple that have gone out to serve the Lord from our congregation. On their wedding day, everyone was aghast. Go forth and multiply, I said. And everyone, I said, of course, I mean, go make disciples. Come on, go make disciples. But it's right there. That provision is in there. The seed is in there. And, you know, people have done that. There was a gentleman that was that took over a congregation, and that congregation was seven people. And he was able, out of that seven people, to plant another congregation. Took two or three out because he believed that the seed was in there for multiplication. And isn't that wonderful? He was able to do that with the word of God and with the word of faith. And I just want to ask you, what is your part? Maybe we can think about this and take it to the Lord in prayer over this weekend. What is your part in filling the earth with the glory of God? What is your part in filling the earth with the glory of God? Now, within and of ourselves, we can't do it. I can't do it, you can't do it. But the Lord invites us to ask that question, because the wonderful thing is that his residing place, the temple of the Holy Spirit, is you. You are the host. You are the one that can bring forth and reflect the glory of God in the earth. And that is the primary goal of the church. Wesley said this, he said, you have nothing to do but save souls, so spend and be spent in this. And of course, we know John Wesley was on fire for the Lord wherever he went. And somebody said to him, John, why is it that so many thousands of people gather to hear you speak? And he said, the Lord sets me on fire and people come to watch me burn. Isn't that a wonderful thing to say? The Lord sets me. The same man who said, I felt my heart strangely warmed. Actually, he experienced an increase of that. Then he was on fire for the Lord from that point on. You know, it's not going to be a program off the shelf. It's not going to be looking at what's happening in some mega church in the States. It's going to be the Spirit of God working through the people of God to produce the revival that Jesus wants to see in Crawley and in this nation again. Amen. We're not looking for a program. The Lord's looking for a person that's saying, here, Lord. Okay, there's a lot of water that's gone under the bridge. Maybe there's a lot of regrets in there as well. But you know what? My grace is sufficient. You know what? My cross is big enough. Don't you know what? It's time. It's time. It's time to bring forth the glory of God. And as I say, I love revive. I love being in those places and surrounded by God's people. And I love worshiping Jesus. But you know, when the Lord starts to lay the lost on your heart, I don't know about you, but our church is on a street corner and there's buses that go past and there's people that go past in their cars. And I'm always a little bit torn because I'm in that service, but I'm partly on the street. And if we're having a powerful prayer time, I'm thinking, come on, Lord, just stretch out your hand, start to touch people that are walking past, compel people to come in. In fact, just about a month ago, we were in our prayer time before our church meeting and we started to pray, come on, Lord, just touch somebody on the street and just draw them in here, bring them in and just bring them into your kingdom today. And right there at that moment, we just finished praying. Literally, a girl walks in off the street and she's saying, I don't know why, but I'm just looking for a church and I'm looking for truth. And she's really, really been on fire for Jesus. And so we've just baptized her. Hallelujah. She says, I found life. I found truth. I found community. Isn't that fantastic? Let's just be praying that the Lord's hands won't just touch us, but reach out and touch those who are outside the church. And one of my best experiences of a kind of conference, which I may have shared before with you, way back, not very far back for some of you, 2004, was Seoul in the city. And I don't know if you were involved down in Crawley, but I think it was a pretty bold step because Mike Pilavachi, various others, took a bold step of not gathering the Christians into a community for a festival, but they took the bold step of bringing, and I mean, the logistics must have been a nightmare, over 10,000 young people to stay in London so that they could do mission across 2 weeks. And, you know, some of you have got one teenager and your lives are just wrecked. I mean, 10,000, come on. That's a pretty bold step. That's a risk. That's a bit of a risk, isn't it? and then getting them to camp out all the way around London. But I was quite heavily involved with that, and I think we just sort of held our breath and went for it. But it was fantastic. It was wonderful just bussing all these kids into London and then providing mission opportunities throughout the week, because we believe that the Lord had given us this great commission to go into all the world. And one of the wonderful things is going into all the world, or going to London, maybe going to Crawley, where you've got lots of different nations. What a wonderful experience to be able to reach out in the names of Jesus, and knowing that we could be the hands and feet of Jesus in a community. You know, the power of that mission was incredible. We were looking after a very difficult estate in Greenwich, lots and lots of crime, lots of high-rise tower blocks. During that week, there was a terrible fire in one of the tower blocks. Obviously, council under a lot of strain and stress, but we were able to throw literally 50, 60 pairs of hands at a lady's flat, which had been destroyed by fire, and just to help her through that process, practically redecorating. It was amazing. And to be able to come to the end of that week and seeing that people had been responding to Jesus, to actually hear from a local policeman not one incident of recorded crime for 2 weeks on this estate, it was a total miracle. There is no way that you could tally that, other than this place was totally saturated in prayer and worship and evangelism for a two-week period. God's presence in heaven comes down into earth, into a difficult context. People weeping, literally weeping, because it was the end of those 2 weeks and some of those young people would be going home. Wow, what an experience. What a wonderful thing. How tangible and how close and how relevant the message of Jesus is to the brokenness that is going on in our streets right now, today. Never be ashamed of the gospel. Never be ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God unto salvation. And it transforms lives, amen? It's transforming lives. So the Lord invites us to participate in his mission. And so we should take that as the Lord's will, that doors start to open. Hallelujah. We want to see doors open, amen? And within our church family, we've got a lovely girl called Izzy. And we wanted to encourage her not long after she became a Christian. We took her to a Christian festival so she could meet some other young people. And we wanted to show that actually there are lots and lots of young people in this nation that love Jesus. And because we had a very small youth group at that time when we came into the church, it was just one or two. We had to pray. And the Lord's wonderfully answered that prayer. We've got loads of young people, loads of children now. But we brought her to this festival so she could see those things. And actually, we booked in for a time of prophecy. You could book in it was something called prophetic encouragement. I don't know if you experienced that as a church before, but we run that as a ministry in our church now. It's wonderful just to hear what the Lord has to say. And she had a real missionary heart, and she's in this wonderful school, 2,000 young people there, but really, really close to the gospel. And we approached the school to run a Christian union. No, you can't run a Christian union, but possibly some of the young people could do that. And so she got that started. This girl got this thing started. And then I thought, we need to get the Word of God in there. Let's try and get the Word of God in there. Spoke to the local Gideons and said, okay, can we get some Bibles? We want to get some Bibles into the school. She says, you're not going to get Bibles into that school. It's really closed. I've been trying for 18 years to get Bibles in there. We've been praying for this school, but we just can't get it in there. And we get this prophetic word from this festival. And the word is, you have the ear of your headmaster. You have the ear of your headmaster. And now, if that had been me, and I knew that there'd been 18 years of opposition, I'm not sure if I would have believed it. But you know, this girl, Izzy, she stepped right out in faith. And she arranged an appointment to see her teacher when the summer ended. And she said, this is what she said. She said, in a month's time, I'm going to be bringing in 2,000 Bibles to the school. So I'd like you to inform all of the year groups that this is what I'm going to be doing. And the head teacher said, yes, that's exactly what I'll do. So he arranged over the course of a few weeks to speak to all of the year groups. And this is what he said. He said, the Christians, are bringing in Bibles to this school on such and such a date. And they're all going to be numbered. So I know which pupil has taken which Bible. And if I find a single Bible that's been destroyed or tampered with in an unhelpful way, I will be coming down upon you like a ton of bricks. Now, I thought, well, that's just killed it, hasn't it? No one's going to want a Bible. And she managed to fundraise. She raised enough money to get 2,000 Bibles. I said, Izzy, that's ridiculous. Not everyone in the school is going to want a Bible. How terrible am I, church leader? I said, get about 500, okay? Get about 500, and then, you know, we'll hopefully get through them. No, I want one for everyone. And so she forced me to carry them all into the school. There was a certain day they'd assigned a classroom to us. Bell rang. Oh, kids came running to get their Bible. And it was a lovely Bible, wonderful Bible. Had some lovely, just the pictures and the quotes were fantastic. But it was basically a New Testament NIV translation. Fantastic. It was brilliant. But kids ran from everywhere. And actually, do you know what? On that day, I don't know how it happened, but we went through all of the Bibles. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. This is a school which is full of Muslims and Sikhs and Hindus. But they all got a Bible on that day. But it all came from a prophetic word. But it also came from the inspiration of a young girl that said, God has said we must go. God has said we must go. And we must take this. The place that we are planted, the place where you are planted, Crawley, amen, is a place where you can go. It's a place where you can flourish. It's a place where you can see God's purposes and go forward. And you know that Jesus himself only really used two verbs, didn't he? He said, come. And he said, go. That's basically what he's saying to everyone. Come to me. Anyone weary here? Put your hand up if you're weary. That's not rhetorical. Yes. Anyone weary? No, you're all fantastic. That's good. I hope you've got lots of energy for this weekend. But he says, come to me all who are weary. Come and receive life. Amen. Read Isaiah 55. Come. Lots of people are spending of themselves to gain things which actually don't give life. And when you're spent up going for all of those things and not really receiving any life in you, Jesus says, come to me. Amen. And he's not intimidated in the slightest by your hunger or your thirst or your desire. Amen. It just keeps coming. It's a fount of life. It's a fount of life he can transplant into your very spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. And so you see this, come and receive life, then go and tell the world. The demoniac, come, Jesus goes to the demoniac, comes to him, and then Jesus, you sort of think, this guy's going to take a bit of mentoring, he's gone through quite a lot, he's just been cutting himself, living in tombs, you know, screaming out, breaking bars of iron. Okay, I think we're going to have to watch this one for a little while. Jesus just says, go straight back to your family, go into the Decapolis and tell people about me. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus, receive from him and then go and tell. Have you received from Jesus? Has anyone here received from Jesus? Go and tell somebody about you. You've got something to tell, amen. And you know, that was how the early church breathed. It breathed by coming to Jesus and going into the world. Coming to Jesus, going into the world. So please, just in these days, the things that you're receiving from Jesus now, come on. We've got a whole world to go out there and win. And I often think that within any community, you see, the Lord will bless, or the enemy will be stirred up in a community according to who is the highest bidder spiritually. Who's the highest bidder in your community spiritually? I mean, we're planting a church right on the doorstep of a mosque, okay? But if you were to ask me, do I think, and I could look at trends, I could look at data and see, you know, what's the influx of population, and I could just look at it by numbers, as a lot of churches do, statistics. Are there lots of Muslims coming into this area? Therefore, the Muslims will take this community. What I see is I believe the Lord is saying to us, who's going to be the highest bidder? Who actually is prepared to glorify Jesus and lay down their lives? Who's prepared to love the Lord enough that they can see his work go forth in this community? And of course, I don't know what the future holds. But if you to ask me, are we going to see the Christians flourishing in our community? I would say that there are some churches in our area are prepared to really love the Lord. And I would say that the momentum is definitely with the Christians in our community. But maybe we need to change the story in some communities, okay? Say, Jesus, okay, I'm prepared to say you're worth it. I'm prepared to say you're worth giving everything for. And people will look at that. Look, if I'm an atheist or I'm somebody in the middle, I'm Gnostic, I've got some questions, I do often think this, where would I go if I wanted to know if there was a God? Am I going to go and hang out with some completely bored, you know, uninterested, if you feel like it's a little bit of an add-on to your life, Christians? What we've seen in this nation in the past 50 years is the death of nominal Christianity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where is the church? Back on the margins, where it can thrive. Where it's always been thriving in all nations, where it's on the margins. Because Jesus is on the margins, amen? Reaching out in the margins. The one who's saying to us, go and grow. You can flourish. You don't need to feel like you're flourishing by surrounding yourself with thousands of other believers. So don't look necessarily at the mega church models, because very often they are not particularly growing. They add one or two members to what, 10,000? That's not very fruitful. Actually, it's the small churches that are fruitful. They're the ones picking up ones, twos, threes, fours. But if you do that in multiples, I'm telling you, it changes a nation quick, very quick. So, the Lord has a wonderful calling for his church. And I think I want to be a person that breathes with the Lord. I want to breathe with the Lord. I want to come to Jesus and then take all of Jesus out into the world. And so it says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and it continued to increase. Hallelujah. That was the church in Acts. That was the church that at the time when it said, do you want to follow Jesus? That meant, I want to follow Jesus. It meant you're going to die probably within about 3 weeks. Okay? Okay? That's what it meant. But the testimony of the church was Jesus Christ died and risen again. The death part's been dealt with. Hallelujah. We can keep going forward. And people were being added into that. And so they had this little breather and they gathered momentum and they went forward. And it's really interesting. They went forward in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Statistically now, I can tell you that the churches in the UK that are growing are the ones that I would say to some extent have a fear of the Lord. At least have a reverence of Scripture, okay? At least believe in Jesus, okay? And want to make an attempt at discipleship, which is the life that Jesus calls us to. But they're also the churches that are being comforted and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. I represent ICTHIS at churches together in England, and so you're there right from the kind of, you know, you've got Quakers, you've got the lots of people with tall hats, you know, different churches right across the board. But actually, you know, over the past, I don't know, 50 years, while Roger's been involved with churches together, more and more of the churches that are being represented there are the churches that believe in the comfort and the strengthening of the release of life of the Holy Spirit and have some degree of reverence of the Lord. Sometimes this reverence and this honouring and loving of Jesus, it hasn't fitted well with our cultural psyche and our approach to Jesus. We want a comfortable Jesus that sits in my pocket. I get him out on a Sunday. But Jesus is not like that. He doesn't come to make us nice. He's come to make us new. Hallelujah. And to draw us into his purposes, that he has authority. He is the head of the church. Hallelujah. And where we recognize that, where we honor that, the Lord blesses that and he brings forth new life. And, you know, as a people, I just want to leave you with that exhortation, that encouragement this evening. Am I going to be a person that goes forward, goes and grows with the Holy Spirit? Am I going to be a person that goes and grows with the Holy Spirit? Because I'm telling you, my most amazing experiences of the Holy Spirit and of seeing Jesus at work have been at the very, very far margins of where I believed God could even be at all. And I'll just share briefly that a good friend of mine who has an orphanage in Romania runs a project called Cry in the Dark. Does anyone know Cry in the Dark? Steve Cooper, yeah. So some of you will know Steve, and I've been over there a few times, and Steve took us to a state-run orphanage, which was it's a HIV unit of a hospital, government-run. Very, very bleak experience. I knew a bit about the history of Ceausescu, and about, you know, bought blood from the West that was, you know, injected into children. Horrendous story. And of course, a lot of children completely abandoned, and very little contact with the outside world as well. You know, we get the expression "ship of fools," and you know, I guess largely speaking, we've had more humane institutions of more recent years in the West and in Britain, but not so in, you know, even today in parts of Romania. And we went into one of these places, but I know I was just paralysed by fear, and just sat in the car park outside of the car, thinking, how can we go and bring something of the kind of joy of the Lord? You know, how can you go in with your Jesus smiles and your worship songs? It just didn't feel right. You know, I didn't feel like I had the language to go and be there. I just remember going into this wing of this hospital, and I knew that there hadn't been many visitors for over many years, because of a guest book in the entrance, and just walking down this corridor and hearing worship music, and I was thinking, what's this? Where's this coming from? And going into this ward and finding six kids, you know, quite deteriorated physically, but sat on a bed worshiping Jesus together, and actually that just confronted me. It's such a deep. In such a deep way. We brought some food there, we did some pictures and things like that. And at the end of our time together, you know, we did what you do. let's have a little pray together. You know, let's pray together with these kids. And I'll never forget that there was a little boy there called Patrick. And to see his reaction to the very simple but profound reality when two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, that he will be there with them in the midst. This kid went, yeah! He started jumping up and down and clapping his hands. I thought, honestly, I mean, I've seen people, you know, win the World Cup, and they have not responded like this kid did to, let's pray with a bunch of Christians from England. Very, very profound. Taught me more than I've ever been taught in any sermon by anyone on prayer, on the profundity of it. And yet this kid taught me something. But then we shouldn't be surprised by that, because if we're going to get into going and growing, we've got to become a lot more childlike, haven't we? Not childish, but childlike. Yes, we've got the best news in the world, but we're the worst spokespersons ever. But who's the good spokespeople in the Bible? Well, there's lots of them, actually. People who spend time with Jesus. Zacchaeus. Half of everything I've got, that's gone. If I owe anybody, and he owes a lot of people, I'm going to pay back four times as much. I mean, that's pretty super radical, crazy. Let's just get rid of everything because Jesus is more important in one fell swoop. Amen? Yeah? You know, we're going to have to be brave. Like Jesus, when those men, they tore open a hole in the roof and they lowered their friend down to be right in the midst of Jesus. I mean, that's pretty radical, isn't it? Yeah, I'm just literally going to break this house apart to get to Jesus. And then Jesus is very brave and he's very bold, because in front of all of these staring people, he says, your sins are forgiven. I dare to say it, your sins are forgiven. And then he says, now you dare to get up your mat and walk. Okay? And so Jesus has said, I have dared everything to reach you. Laid down my life for you. So, be bold. Be bold in the Lord. It's time to come to Jesus. If I can't do it myself, I've got no boldness, I can't speak, go to the Lord. If I've got that boldness and I don't know what to do, I'm going to go to the people. I'm going to go to the people around me. I'm going to reach out to the people around me. You might just bring one person to the Lord in your life, but that'd be a wonder. That's a life well spent. Amen. That's a life well spent. And you know, one of my heroes, Billy Graham's gone home to be with Jesus. And actually, the chap who brought Billy to the Lord only brought one person to the Lord, but that had a bit of an impact, didn't it? So, where's the next Billy Graham coming out of? Crawley?
Yeah.
Come on. There are great things to come out of Crawley. Amen. Great things to come out of Crawley. great things to come out of this church. Going to go and grow in the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to pray for you guys and then be blessed. Yeah, Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for these precious saints, Lord God. Lord, we are surrounded, we're immersed in a world which is under the current of the influence of the evil one. And yet, we know that Jesus is real. We know that what you've done is profound and significant, and it's so good, it has to be true. And it's so good because you are so good. And Lord Jesus, I really want to pray a blessing over this congregation. We pray a blessing over the leaders. We want to pray that in these days they would receive fresh encouragement and life from you. And a life of faith is actually a life of risk. It involves some risk. You've taken the biggest risks out of the equation, like death and hell. And so, Lord, we want to pour out our lives for you and live a life that's worthy of the gospel. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.